God for all the things we've already heard. Well, I'm so glad that our sister came out of the water, and then another sister followed. And Jerickson, I want to praise God that you were not sailing down the river. I had that awful feeling. But we thank God for the... Where's the gentleman who baptized you? I want to thank God. I was saying, Father, give him superhuman strength. You know, I could just see Jerickson floating down that river, baptized in a Barcelona shirt and coming up with a Manchester United shirt on. Bless the Lord, that would be a miracle. It's good to know what God has already said to us. God's going to send rain, a deluge, a tsunami into this nation. That means flood. It means flood. But floods don't last. But whatever's been sown in the ground after the flood's over will come up. That's why God wants laborers in the vineyard. Now is the time to sow the right things. You know, we were speaking yesterday about preparing. The word of the Lord comes to us to prepare us. He simply says, there's a tsunami coming. Then I've got to plant. It's important, therefore, to plant the right seed. Because when the flood is all finished and the rains have subsided, it means simply this, whatever is in the ground will come up. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a title somewhere on that. I told you I spent too much time in the movies. But I want God to have a good crop. I want him to have fruit that remains. We don't want mixture. But mixture will be there. But God wants you to plant seeds that you know what that seed will produce. So when the flood is gone, the waters have come, you're able to go looking for the fruit of the seed you've planted. This is what Abram had to go through when God spoke to him. Abraham looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He wasn't just not looking for something. He was looking for a city that had foundations. The seed that God has given to you is the top quality seed of heaven. Nothing can top that seed. You've got to believe not in your ability. You've got to believe in the ability of the seed. Faith is not in your personality or your character. Your faith is in the seed you sow. You've got to believe that the word you preach is quality seed, and it will produce exactly with the intention that God sent it forth. Many young men I've been talking to lately, they come after they've preached and they say, you know, I feel a little down because I didn't preach that word that I was preaching. I say, what did you preach on? They say, well, you were in the meeting. I say, well, that was an hour ago. That's gone. Why beat yourself up for an hour ago? You've got to live in the now. They say, well, we could have done better than this and better than this. I said, no. You don't believe in the power of the seed. There are times you throw. I remember many, many years ago as a young man, an elderly man came up to me. He said, you know, I could have preached that sermon better than you. I said, sir, you could have. I said, what's the difference? He said, on what you preached, I could never have thrown out the net. I said, no, you couldn't have. I said, but I got a lot of fish. I got a lot of people came to Christ. You wouldn't have thrown out the net. He said, you didn't throw out the net, and you wouldn't have thrown out the net because you were talking about your ability to preach. I'm talking about the ability of the word I sowed. Faith is faith in the word that you sow. And that's why God wants us to be in the scriptures. See, faith is not some nebulous thing that you're looking for or fasting to get more. No, no. It's just basically simply believing what the word says. It's as simple as that. Okay? So I'm just going to say to you some things that we need to know. Some things you need to know to enjoy the walk of faith. Okay? Number one, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First thing you need to know, nobody existed before God. Amen. In other words, God is the source of everything that's going to follow. Nobody existed before him. Reading the New Testament, and without him nothing was created without God. So God is the creator. Nobody existed before God. Psalm 77:13. Nobody is greater than God. You have a heavenly Father, and nobody is greater than him. The biggest bully in the world is not greater than God. You understand that? That's why I like being in Norway. Per Arne stands here, and Daniel stands here, and I think, nobody's going to hurt me. People can come up to me and say, hey, you little guy. I say, don't talk to me like that, otherwise he's going to deal with you. That's with God. Nobody greater than God. Faith is extra. Nobody is greater than. Turn to that psalm with me. Psalm 77:13. Who will like to read that verse for us? Psalm 77:13. Just throw some scriptures out to you because we haven't got a lot of time. 77:13. Is there anyone who would like to read that? It doesn't matter. Verse 13. God, you are holy. Is there anyone as mighty as you? It says? Oh, sorry. Verse 14. Could you read it in? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone as mighty as you? No. You go to bed in the night, you have no fear. You walk into a dark room, no fear. You go into a hostile situation, no fear. Why? Is there anyone mightier than you? Aren't you looking after me? Didn't you choose me? Didn't you select me? Therefore, I must be important to you. Therefore, if I'm important to you, you look after me. If I'm your servant and you call me into ministry, I don't need to think about where am I going to get my food. You employ me. If you employ me, I expect to get paid. He says, I'll pay you in abundance. Hello? Turn to somebody and say hello. Right? Psalm 25 verse 8 in the English version. I don't know what it is in the Norwegian version. It says simply this in the English version. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. The Lord is good and does what's right. What is he saying to us? Nobody's better than God. Nobody better than God. If you want a healing from God, if you want a healing from God and receive a healing from his mighty hand, your healing makes you better than you were before. Because he renews things. So I'm looking at a God who existed, nothing existed before him. Nobody is greater than him, but nobody's better than him. You know why I love him? Because there's nobody better to love. No, I trust him because there's nobody better to trust. Hebrews 10:23. If you look at that verse, I'll write it down. Hebrews 10:23. I'll just put it down as simply as this. There is nobody more faithful than God. You ever been in a situation as a Christian when there's been a little blip in your life, when you're not as sharp as you once were? You thought basically of taking a step back, and he gave you a little nudge. He said, I just want you to know, even though you've not been faithful, I am. Even though they've walked out on you, I'm not going to do that. Even if he or she's left you, I'm not going to leave you. For I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Told you this story, I'll say it again. The elderly lady came to me about a year or so ago in the church in Cardiff, and she walked out the front and she's tearful. And she said, I just want to say this. She said, my granddaughter is not walking with God as she should be. I said, don't worry about it. He's walking with her. She said, what do you mean? Said, he'll never leave you or forsake you. Please understand that. You may know people that are not walking with God. That does not mean he's not walking with them. They're just oblivious to his presence. Oh, hallelujah. I like that thought. I like that thought. That you can be in a situation, oh God, I'm all alone. He said, no, you're not. Never confess that. That's a careless word. It's a careless word because I've told you I'll never leave you or forsake you. Then how can you say you're alone? You see, God wants us to speak words that are true. True to the word. We must confess the word. Do you know that God's word is as big and as true as God himself? If God violated a word that he spoke, his throne would topple at that moment. Because Hebrews tells us the whole world is sustained by the word of his power. If his word was ever violated, the world that we know, the cosmos that we live in, the universe that we see, would suddenly disappear. Why? The word had collapsed. God's word is as truthful and as sound as God himself. I love the Lord for that. There is no one more faithful. No one more faithful than God. The next one is in Philippians chapter 4, 18 to 19. You know this one. His resources are greater than ours. My God shall supply all you need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Hey? He's not short of money. People talk about God like, he's short of money. I'm short of money. God's not short of money. It's a young couple in Wales the other day. They were going to get a house. And I'm sitting in a restaurant with this young man and his wife, and they said, this, we're £25,000 short. That would have been about 300,000 kroner short. They said, we don't know where we're going to get that money from. I said, neither do I. I'm only here for you to buy me a coffee. Like, listen carefully now. This is a setup. They said, for us to buy you a coffee. I said, that's right. They said, well, I said, I already know you haven't got a lot of money. But I said, I know you can buy me a cup of coffee. So then that young man went into his pocket and he go around in his pocket. I thought he had a hole in his pocket. He said, I can buy you a cup of coffee. I said, it's fine. So I drank the coffee and enjoyed the coffee and thanked them for the coffee. I said, now, isn't it a wonderful thing that God's going to supply you with 300,000? He said, how's he going to supply us with 300,000? I said, I don't know. All I know is you bought me a coffee. Because you bought me a coffee, it's going to supply your need. He said, coffee? For 300,000? Well, they went away. Following day, going into the same city, I meet this young man. He wanted to meet me. Big smile. I thought somebody's bought him a coffee. He said, you'll never believe this. I said, try me. He said, the estate agent, the real estate agent, phoned us. And the lady who was selling the house, there had been some problem, domestic problem with her husband. And they'd agreed to come down £25,000. See, God doesn't necessarily need to give you money in cash. He's got other ways to solve it. You know, because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, he could go up on the hill and kill 100 of them and give you the cows. But he didn't. He just brought the price down. I said, that's fantastic news. Here's his next ploy. He's a funny guy, you know. He says, shall we have another cup of coffee together? I like it. He's in ministry too. I like him like that, you know. See? But what I told you by story form is simply this. This is what a prophet asked a lady. He said, go and cook me something. She said to him, I've only got enough for my son and myself. He said, that's right, give it to me. Have you ever read that story?
Yes.
To think a man, I know it's the last meal you've got. I know you're going to enjoy it with your son. And I know you're thinking you're going to die. Don't worry about that. Just give it to me. You can die earlier. He didn't say about dying. He just said, give it to me. So she gave it to him. And the oil that she ever had kept running and running and running. Now here's not the end of the story. Time came when her son died. Her son died. And she called for the prophet. Because her son had died a long time before that, she'd given her last meal away. And she said, my son's dead. Can you do something? He said, I'll do something about it. Because you sustained me with the food and you gave me life. So what I've received, I'm going to give to you. And her son came back to life. I just get excited those days. But I'm in Norway, so I've got to be careful with my excitement. Because my sister, who nearly perished in the water today from Uganda, the lady, are you warm now? Yeah, you discovered that the waters are colder than Norwegian people? We'll say no more about that. But God's resources are greater than yours. So no matter what you need, if someone comes along to you and says this, is that all you got? And they suddenly say this, give it to me. Now, I'm not just talking because they're selfish. They're trying to teach you something. Give it to me. The Holy Spirit says, give it. Whatever you give, whatever you sow, you reap. Whatever you sow. Money comes my way. Sometimes I get big checks. I just look at the title and I think, I just look at the amount of money and think, wow, that's a big sum of money. A check for £10,000 arrives in my home. And I think, £10,000. And sometimes I just put them on the floor and I roll over and I said, I'm rolling in money. I do that. I just want my wife to get excited. She goes, what are you doing now? I said, I'm rolling in money. I said, there's £10,000 in this check. Then she picks the check up and then she looks at the letter. She said, excuse me, sweetheart. This check was sent to you, but it's made out to so-and-so. They're just asking you to pass on the check. Do you understand? Just pass it on. But sometimes the checks are written to me. And they, oh God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. In this check, there's more than 500 films for the rest of the year that I can look at. He says, no, son, this is the money. I want you to give it to so-and-so. There's only a decision you've got to make when money comes your way, or any gift comes your way. Is this seed for planting? Yeah. That's giving, or is it seed for eating? It's for myself and my family. You've got to know that. Sometimes you receive money, it's not for you. It's just coming your way to give to somebody else. In other words, I use it simply like this in my Bible. Easy come, easy go. You know the saying? Comes easy, goes easy. And God wants us to be like that. Be generous like He is, always. There's another thing about God. He always wants to bless you. Always wants to bless you. Anybody here being blessed? There are lots of scriptures about that. You can find them. But when He does bless you, He always wants to bless you abundantly. Oh God, so bless me now in this mighty move that you're going to have. Bless me so that, bless me that I just want to feel. He said, I want to bless you to the degree that you're in abundance. Last Sunday I was in a meeting. I'm always in meetings. I can't get out of meetings. This young man came forward in the meeting. He said, Brother Jones. It's nice to be known as Brother Jones. I said, yes. He said, I have a need. I said, that's fantastic. You have a need. He said, well, I've come to you. Perhaps you can help me. I said, I can't really. I said, are you saying to me you have a need? How much is your need? He said, I need £100. What would be? 1,200 kroner? On the present rate? I said, 1,200 kroner, that's a lot of money. He said, yes. But I need it by tomorrow. I said, by tomorrow? That's an acute situation. He said, yes. I said, well, do you need 100? Yes. So I said, we're going to pray. He said, yes. I said, how much did you say you need? £100. So I said, how much do we pray for? He said, £100. I said, no. We need at least 110. Now, why did I tell him that? God isn't limited, but why did I tell him that? 110. You need at least 110 to make 100. Tithing. Hello. I say this to you. Most of you do not live on what you get in salary. If you go through the whole year, you've lived way beyond your salary. I'll put it this way. How many of you have ever been out and somebody's bought you a coffee? Hands up, if any, you've been out and someone's bought you a coffee. Okay. How many of you have been out and someone else has paid for the meal? How many times, perhaps, have you been out and somebody's paid for the gasoline of the car? How many times have you been at home and you've met somebody and they've just given you a gift? You're living beyond your salary. The Bible says you tithe on your income. Not your salary, your incoming. If I had to give God for my salary, he wouldn't get much. But I get a lot more than my salary coming in. People don't just sit down and buy me a coffee. I usually ask for that. But they say, the other night, a surgeon and his wife came to my wife and myself, and they said, we'd like to take you out for a meal. Where would you like to go? And I said to them, I want to take you to the cleanest, the smartest, the best restaurant in the whole of this city of Cardiff. He said, that's all right. Where would you like to go? Where is it? I said, it's called McDonald's. I'm not talking about McDonald's in Oslo, because I took my brother Erling there and I told him all about how clean it was, etc., and he was like a pigsty. And since that time, I've been so sad. But I thought the surgeon would be shocked, and he looked at me with a big smile. And his wife looked at him and said, you're not taking him there. And he looked at me and said, I love McDonald's. I said, well, let your wife go with my wife to their restaurant and we'll go to McDonald's. Now, my wife is a little different to that lady. She said, I'm not letting you out of my sight in McDonald's. Because you will not want a Big Mac, you'll want a super-sized Big Mac. You know? But we live beyond our means. We live on the income. Now, if you at the end of the year could calculate how much you really received, you will be surprised at the income that's come your way. The Bible says to tithe on your income. So after today, in this meeting, they're not going to pay me any extra for this, but it means the tithe in the church's year suddenly rises this year. And everybody said nothing. The other thing I want to tell you about the Lord that I serve, when I come to him, he says, come to me with confidence. Or come to me with boldness. Faith means you come to your heavenly Father with boldness. Why? Because there's nobody like him. Then there's nobody who loves you more than him. There's nobody greater than him. There's nobody who gives you more abundantly than him. And he says, now come before me with abundance. ask me specifically. Going back to another meeting, a lady came one time in the meeting, a very young lady. She had just passed her driving test. She'd only passed her driving test. She passed her driving test first time. First time. It's important to understand what I mean. She passed her driving test first time. That is not an indication of how many times she tried it. She only passed her test once. Oh, a little subtle there, isn't it? A little subtle. So she came out front. Her father was very wealthy. She said, I've passed my driving test. I said, that's fantastic. Well done. She said, will you pray for me to get a car? I said, no. I said, what kind of car? What color car? So she said the car. I thought, wow, a Volkswagen, Golf, Royal Blue, automatic. She had it all laid out. She said, would you pray for me? I said, no. But she said, I want a car. She said, I know you do. Now I said, I can tell you who can help you. She said, who? I said, you see that man at the back, just standing at the back of the building, just there? So she looked round and she said, I know him. I said, I thought you would. It's your dad. Go and ask your dad. Because your dad's like God. Your dad's kind. Your dad's loving. Your dad gives you practically everything you want. Go and ask your dad. I've asked him already, she said. And I said, and what did he say? He said, I'm not going to have a new Volkswagen. I've got to have a used car. I said, your father's wise. She said, but I passed my test. I said, your father's wise. The fact you've passed your test is no relevance to the wisdom of your father. She said, you're not going to help me then. I said, I've just helped you. I told you, go and ask your father. And you said you've already asked him. So your father's wise. Sometimes you don't need to go to God for something. Did you know that? God's got it in your own hands. You know, on the many things I've got in my house, do you know how they come my way? It's because I worked hard. I worked hard. Sometimes I sold things so that I can buy other things. Sometimes I've gone without things so I could buy things. But I don't always just turn to God for things. I just do the will of God. Amen. Seek ye first. Amen. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things will be added to you. Please understand this. Your prayers are not... God doesn't want you to pray for things. He wants you to put him first and his kingdom first and his righteousness. And if you do that, all the things that you require will follow. Did you hear what I said? Very important to remember that. Time is rushing on. But if we go to God, which is said this morning, he who comes to God, book of Hebrews, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, it is not haphazard seeking. It's not casual seeking. There's a diligence in it. There's a diligence of requirement, a diligence of asking. There's a time of seeking and asking and seeking and asking and knocking and asking. There's a diligence about it. But you know that you know that you know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not reluctant to give us what we require. But he's just not a sweet sugar daddy in the sky that just doles out to make you fat and to make you basically to pamper us, to make us feel that whatever we require, we get. No, he's not like that. I've been in ministry long enough and seen men walk around. They walk around with big Rolex watches and big gold chains and big wonderful drip. They drip with it. They got big planes. They got big cars. They got big houses. And they say, this is the blessing of God. I can take you to the hood in New York to the mafia boys, and they've got big planes and they've got big cars and they've got big nothing to do with God. Things haven't got anything to do with God. Please understand that. Doesn't show how big you are and how big your faith is. There are many people today who've made a lot of money out of the gospel. I'm afraid I'm not one of them. I'm not interested in writing a book to make money. I'm interested in preaching the gospel of good news. And the good news is simply this. When God deals with you and God deals with me, you can come boldly to the throne and you can ask confidently, knowing that he'll answer you. The final thing I'll say in this session is this. God guarantees his promises. Do you know anyone who guarantees a promise? God guarantees his promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20. God has promises, it's like this. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and yes. Yes and amen. Yes and so let it be. Have you ever got any of you here got a promise from God that's not yet been fulfilled? Raise your hand if you've got a promise that from God that as yet has not been fulfilled. Hello? Hello? Don't look so troubled. Yeah, don't look so troubled. Just a question. Have you received a promise from God that at this present time is still to be fulfilled? Doesn't worry if you haven't. You think you have. Well, we pray now that you'll come to know that you have. Right? Now, if you are in the situation and you have a promise from God that as yet has not been fulfilled, you're going to have a surprise when it is. Because he has no intention of breaking it. Because if he had, he would not have made it. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he not spoken? Will he not make it good? Isn't that good? There are so many promises here in the Word of God. And this is why you read the Bible, not as a book merely to study, but in there, it's packed with promises. And suddenly as you're reading in a situation, you're suddenly in a situation and you say, God, that promise is for me. He said, that's right. Lord, it's in the book of Leviticus. It's the book I normally try to rush through. And I found it in the book of Leviticus. He said, that's right. Been there for you all the time. You could have found it sooner if you had read it. But you kind of just sweep over those pages. It's there all the time. You say, Father, it's my promise. Is it your promise? In this situation for now? I remember that happened to me when I was a younger Christian, and I went to an older, you know, mature Christian. Mature, by the way, means he'd gone off. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you get cheese that is so mature, it's very pungent. It's gone off. And I meant that. I went to him, he was a Christian, but he wasn't living in the life of life. He was just a mature Christian. He was old a Christian. And I said to him, I've just got this promise from the book of Leviticus. He said, well, you see, the context of that. That was written to the children of Israel. And the promises of God to the children of Israel. I said, I'm one of them. He said, you're not one of the children. I said, I'm one of the true ones. Father Abraham had many sons said, Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord right now.
Hey?
Very, very important. The true child of God, the true child of Israel, is one who's put faith in Christ. Galatians is very clear. Just read the book. But the context, brother, the context is this is the children of Israel. It's not for you. It's the context. Well, I said, the only thing I know about context is this. The Holy Spirit always gives me the context for when he wants to bring my attention to a scripture. The scripture only has meaning in the context the Spirit says. Is there anybody here who's ever read the Bible and you suddenly cross a verse and suddenly God says, that's for you? Yes. Hands up if that's ever happened to you.
Yes.
That's right. That's like living the life of faith.
Yes.
See? You just open the book and you say, wow, look at that. It's for me. Father, do you mean it's me? He said, it's for you. He will never fail with that promise. You see, the life of faith is easy if you just operate on this, on very basic principles. He's for us. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this afternoon. I want to thank you, Father, that we are the most wonderful people in the world. Simply because we're your children. I want to thank you that when we were lonely, you didn't leave us like orphans. You brought us into your family. I want to thank you when we were bottom of the heap. You came and pulled us out like brands from the burning, and you saved us. I want to thank you for salvation. I want to thank you, Lord, that even though I may not be as I should be, I'm far better than I was because of your hand upon my life. And I want to thank you for everyone in this room that you've saved and you've chosen and called. I want to thank you for what you're going to do in this nation. That there's going to be a bigger and biggest outpouring on this nation than there's ever been. I want you to give everyone in this room good seed. So that we can go and plant, knowing that you'll do the watering. And knowing that the abundant fruit that comes forth is only going to bring glory to your name. And we thank you for this. We thank you that you're good all the time.
Amen.
We thank you that there's nobody greater than you all the time.
Amen.
And we want to thank you that you are the source of our being.
Yes.
And the hope of our faith.
Amen.
Bless the food we are going to eat.
Amen.
Let it be a strengthening to our bodies.
Amen.
But we want to thank you that you're giving it to us.
Amen.
And we just pray, bless it and sanctify it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 And amen. Now turn to somebody. Don't clap your hands. Don't clap. Just turn to somebody, clasp their hand and say, it's a real privilege to be sitting next to you today.